Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek.
Get altered, get geeky. It's a wild ride. Join the discussion. Let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the geekdom is EFG and Mike.
Okay, is my math right now? We're 40 away from 500. Can I finally say that?
Yes.
Okay, good. 460. Let's go.
Yep. So to start this episode off on a funny note.
Yes.
Have you seen the McDonald's CEO eating the burger where he's supposed to be eating their big arch burger or something? And he takes barely a nibble out of it. And then people have been memeing this. And then Burger King CEO like, gets the veins out of his neck and just takes a wolfing, you know, bite out of his burger.
Yes.
And then the A&W guy, and then the Wendy's guy, and then the guy from Five Guys, like they're all eating like monstrous bites out of their burger. And then because the CEO of McDonald's is like so bored, he's like, this is a really good burger.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, it's you took barely a nibble, dude. Like you probably got, and then he's like, I really like the burger. I had one for lunch.
What he said was, I really like this burger. This is actually my dinner. This is going to be my dinner is what he says at the beginning of the, I'm like, are you kidding me? And what I saw was I saw somebody reacting to it. Actual. No. It's fine. Whatever. It is what it is. But it's like, oh my God. And the funny thing is, Chaos wanted to try it. And I'm like, okay, sure. And for me, I can't. I have to customize everything because not everything goes with my system. I will. Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 30, 45 minutes. Somebody open a window. That's a quote from Friday. That's a quote from Craig's dad from Friday, from the movie Friday from 1995. That's how I am with certain things. Pickles and onions. I don't do pickles and onions. So when I ordered this thing tonight, literally like 5 hours ago for dinner, I took the onions off, I took the pickles off, and I added bacon to it. So that's all I did. And it wasn't half bad. It was a good burger. However, I will say, this thing is huge. When they say big arch, they mean big arch. It's like, let's put the entirety of the McDonald's logo, even though it's just a big burger, but let's take the whole arches and put it into a box. Because this is not Big Mac size. This is like quadruple pounder size, like triple pounder size. Like this burger is, and like I have a fairly large left hand, and I can usually, I technically kind of have to since I can't use my right hand with cerebral palsy, but like usually I'm fairly good at one-handing burgers. This thing was falling apart as I'm eating it. I've never had a burger from McDonald's, any burger that they've ever done, fall apart on me. That's how big this burger is. It's crazy. It was good. It tasted good. It was fine. I don't think it's something I would ever eat on a regular, but like, this isn't my new go-to McDonald's burger. It was a nice, thank God it's a limited time, you know, item. But it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I've not tried it, but that's because I refuse to spend what they charge for their burgers for something I can go and sit in and eat.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm like, if I'm going to pay that much for a burger, they're going to bring it to me.
Oh, see, that's that's the difference between you and me, because you can actually go to the store and actually get it. I can't. So I just
go to the restaurant. I'm going to sit in, like, I'm going to do like an Applebee's or a.
Yep. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah, I get it. But in lieu of me being able to do that, I think, what did I see? I paid, for the meal, So the burger, large fries, and a drink, I paid $20.28. So that's for the entire meal. That's not just for the burger by itself. And I have Dash Pass, so the fees and all that stuff are already included because I already pay DoorDash an annual fee anyway. So, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal for me to whatever, but it is what it is. Like I said, it was a tasty burger. It was a nice thing to try. It's not something I'll probably ever order again. It was a nice little one-time deal.
Yeah, so I figured I'd bring it up anyway just because it was kind of humorous just watching the other CEOs dogpiling. They're like, you know, this is really good publicity for us.
Yep.
They're like, you can tell he doesn't like his burger. We like our burger.
Yeah.
Like that was more or less like the vibe I was getting from that. And I'm like,
yep.
You guys are you guys are just rotten to each other. I think it's hilarious. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's just I was like, touche, like good job.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of fast food Twitter. That reminds all of those other CEOs toppling on top of him reminds me of McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, all of the fast food Twitter accounts just toppling on top of each other every now and then.
It is kind of funny, though.
It is very much so. Oh, boy. What else has been going on with you?
Not much. Been working on stuff with my PC and working on some different projects, as it were.
Yes, we will get to those later because we have a whole thing later with your 3D printing stuff that we will talk about way later in the program, which is not funny at all, even though I'm...
No, it's not. It's not at all.
No. But first up, oh boy, as video podcasts boom, SAG-AFTRA looks to organize the industry. What?
So I have looked this one up.
Yeah.
And I was confused as to what it exactly meant. And more or less what it is they're, because the line has blurred between what a podcast is, because they've tried to reinvent it. What they're doing is they're saying they have two different deals, like a micropod agreement and then a bigger independent, you know, agreement that kicks in above, you know, that. What they're saying is essentially we're not coming for the indies that are doing podcasts. And, you know, they're saying that their guests are allowed to waive the fees for the indies. So like if we were interviewing David Kaye or, you know, somebody else, they would waive it essentially because we're small fish. Like there's no money in it. You know, it would still be, plus we're not doing a like audio drama or having them do like some kind of an acted out piece like a lot of the talk shows will do, you know, like have them reenact something. We're literally interviewing and having a conversation. So it's different. What they're trying to do is stopping places like Netflix and other things that are calling a talk show a podcast.
Gotcha.
So they're coming after the studios that are trying to play the, oh, it's a podcast, it's not a TV show.
Right.
Which I think is hilarious. Like, they're talking like, you know, your Netflix and your, you know, NBC and your other stuff. It's saying that, you know, if a SAG member comes on, you know, your podcast to promote a movie or geek out about Transformers or, you know, talk shop, they can waive the compensation. It's a standard practice for press style appearances to waive it. What they are saying, though, however, is that, you know, that the contracts where they mostly apply is when it's like signatory under a SAG agreement, like it's generating over $10,000 per season.
Yeah.
It's operating at more professional produce scale, which we're not. And then there's even a micropod agreement specifically for shows under 10,000. It's not for targeting hobbyists. They're targeting like streamer backed video podcasts.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And corporate podcast networks, you know, like your iHeart.
Yeah.
And shows that kind of blur the daytime TV territory lines. So essentially, like, because I had to put that into an AI to be like, okay, I need to understand this. How does this impact Geekcast Radio? How does this, you know, does this impact indies? Is this like what is the line here?
Yeah.
And it's more or less like if you're running a typical geek culture show and booking actors for interviews, nothing changes overnight. Like actors already do conventions. They do YouTube interviews, press junkets, indie podcast interviews. Those don't go away. What could change down the road is if podcasting becomes more formally unionized, that agents may prefer booking clients on signatory shows that are, you know, registered with a union. But we're far from that. They're saying that, you know, the only way you'd have to pay is if you voluntarily become a signatory under a SAG podcast agreement, or your show generates, you know, grows into a structured revenue heavy production with union coverage. So otherwise, nothing's going to change for us. So it's more so to prevent the streamers from undercutting daytime TV contracts, protect performers and high budget video podcast productions, and control AI use of voices and likenesses.
Gotcha.
So we are fine.
Okay. Because I thought at first, until you just described that to me, I thought it was something else. I thought they were trying to redefine the term for what a podcast is. And I'm sitting here thinking, no, you can't, a podcast. Like, I took it more literally. Like, they were trying to redefine what a podcast is. Like, a podcast is not an audio this or a video this. It's a this, this, and this. And now that you've explained that to me, I'm like, oh, got it. Okay.
It's essentially, like I said,
I got it.
We're not coming for indie geeks. It's more or less Netflix, stop pretending your talk show is a podcast. Which is why I have been arguing on behalf of indie podcasters that a video show is not a podcast.
It's not a podcast. It's a video show.
It's a video show. Thing. It is still a talk show, just on a streaming platform.
Yes,
it's exactly. Quit redefining it. And that's essentially what's happening, is they're getting their wrists slapped by the industry because they were trying to shirk paying. And be like, oh, well, we're a streamer. We're not a part of this. It's a podcast. Like, they were trying to, like, steal the indie thunder. And it's like, it's coming back to roost, you know.
It's coming back to bite you in the arse.
That's why I was like, I need to put this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Put this into into something to make it understandable.
Yeah, because I was reading the article and I'm like, wait, what? And I read it again and I'm like, wait, what? Oh, that's okay. Got it.
See, and the other thing that kind of benefits us too is we're not doing scripted narrative series.
Oh, no.
So in accordance with, and I can't talk a whole lot about it because it's not fully legal yet, but I can talk about some of the details. I'm trying to trademark the network name. And because another network has something that they deem legally too similar, even though they're not, because I can't use radio network So anyways, because of that, I had to get a little bit more granular in how I approach it. The other network does some of the narrative and does some of the scripted, and it's like, we're never going to do that. So, like, I don't really care. So I was like, I'll give up on that side of it. Like, I just want to make sure that we're able to still cover what we cover.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, so it's more so that. I think it's interesting. I think it's going to be a lot of change in the industry as it continues to mature. Because like, even where I work, they're starting to advertise on podcasts, albeit slowly. I don't think that the juice is worth the squeeze personally as a podcaster.
No.
like, and as a marketer?
No,
I don't see it.
Oh,
I feel like the ads that are pumped into the podcast, I feel like they're not, there's no definitive way of tracking it.
So as a podcast listener for literally 20 years.
Yeah, same here.
No. Yeah, I know. But like, I've 2006, middle of, well, yeah, it'll be later this year, like sometime in June or July of 2006 is when I first started listening to podcasts. So literally almost 20 years ago is when I first started listening to podcasts. And as someone who has listened to, I'm going to say millions of episodes, I don't know. I don't know what that count is over 20 years. But as a listener, there's nothing more that I hate than to have an episode interrupted by an ad. So we're going along, Mike and Steve, blah, 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 talking about HBO Max and Paramount to combine into, would you like to buy some Cialis today? Improve your performance in the bedroom, blah, 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 blah. HBO Max is turning into this streaming service. Like, don't. I understand dynamic ad insertion, completely get that, but there's manual dynamic ad insertion. You can put those ads anywhere. It takes a little extra time, just like everything else in podcasting takes a little extra time, but you can put those dynamic ads anywhere in the podcast episode. You don't have to.
Yes. The hard part is you would think with, especially with AI now, that they could find a logical place to put it as conversations pivot. Because like, for instance, like us, I ain't going through 450 episodes of well, Altered Geek and, you know, all things Transformers to, you know,
but I'm saying
to
like
do that legwork. So right, I can see it from a publisher standpoint.
Okay, yes, that's true, but I'm saying, like, you start a new podcast, or you start...
Well, yeah, you build it in.
Right. Or, like, how I always like to do, even when we had the dynamic ad insertion, I would always manually...
Which we still do.
Okay.
I'm just funny about it, and I put it at the end.
Right, good. But my point is, when I was doing it manually, when we had the other system, not the current system we currently have, not talking shop or whatever that we don't need to talk about, I would always wait until the end when I would do the podcast ad break advertising the other podcasts that I always advertise, whether it be Mark Who 42 or Simplistic Reviews or whatever other podcast ads that I've garnered over the years from other people that we like to, or that we've worked with in the past or whatever. And what I would always do is whatever said other platform used to require me to put in, depending on the time of the actual podcast episode, let's say it required me to have 6 ads. I would do 3 before the podcast break, podcast ad break, and then 3 after. So you have what they want as just those ads, and then you have, so it doesn't interrupt anything, and you get a free flowing conversation without any ads whatsoever. I don't know. That's just the way I thought of it, because anyway, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. It's old hat. It's from years ago. Point is that everything changes. And yeah, SAG-AFTRA getting into the podcast game, that just blows my mind. What in the hell is the Academy doing in the podcast game? That's just crazy.
Agreed.
Crazy.
I figured that would happen eventually.
Yeah, you know. Is what it is. Up next, we got HBO Max and Paramount Plus to combine into one streaming platform. Paramount says HBO brand will operate with independence. This is coming out of Variety. This was published March 2nd, 2026. So it is official. Thank God this news is behind us. And yes, I know this news also has all kinds of other political things we're not talking about here. We're only talking about the entertainment part of it. Paramount Skydance plans to combine Paramount Plus and HBO Max into one streaming service upon the completion of the merger between Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery. However, Paramount will want HBO, the brand, to operate with independence, quote, and operate with independence is in quotes, just that part. Quote, as we said, we plan to put the two services together, which today gives us a little over 200 million direct-to-consumer subscribers, end quote, Paramount CEO David Ellison said during an investor call breaking down the details of the planned merger Monday. We think it really positions us to compete with the leaders in the space at Paramount by the middle of this year. We'll have completed the consolidation of our three services under one unified stack, and you can see us taking a similar approach to this platform going forward. And we think the combined offering and given the amount of content, what we can do from the tech side really will put us in position to be able to compete with the most scaled players in DTC? Huh? Based on the call, it was not immediately clear what the setup of the new combined streamer will be and whether HBO Max will be available as a tile within the service or fully integrated. However, Ellison did make it clear Paramount's leadership wants to give HBO, currently run by Casey Bloys, the special treatment to continue developing programming content without heavy oversight from Paramount's execs. So, okay. He says, Casey and his team do absolutely a remarkable job at HBO, said Ellison, who told analysts on the call that Game of Thrones is his favorite HBO series. I roll for me. And as we said, we do plan for that to be able to operate with independence so that HBO can candidly do what it does incredibly well. Our viewpoint is HBO should stay HBO. They build a phenomenal brand. They are a leader in the space, and we just want them to continue doing more of it. But by bringing the platforms together, all of our content will be able to reach even broader audiences than we can do as all standalones. And of course, we all know about the whole Netflix and whatever else. So yeah, HBO Max, Paramount Plus, one platform. Who knows? As someone who does subscribe to Disney Plus, because Disney owns ABC and ABC, Hulu, etc., when Disney merged Hulu into Disney Plus, and it's just a tab or a toggle or whatever you want to call it in Disney Plus, that's fine to me. I'm perfectly okay with that. So if HBO Max becomes a tile or a toggle or a tab in Paramount Plus, I guess I'm okay with that. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to go. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic, but again, like, it seems like Warner Brothers has been tossed around like
a ragdoll.
Pretty much. And they give it a new paint job, new title. And it gets tossed around pretty bad, like through different companies, you know, AOL, Time Warner, or Time Warner, you know, AOL, Time Warner, Warner Brothers, like, I don't know, just.
That's the problem with consolidating. And again, I go back to Paramount and Warner's and Disney, and there was a bunch of, like, all these separated companies that used to be, and I'm talking like olden days, like when you had like Touchstone Pictures, because Touchstone used to be its own thing before Disney bought it. And, you know, you got all these old studios and everything else, and then everybody started buying everybody else, and Disney bought everybody, and blah, 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 blah. And now you have like these three major things, or two major things, or whatever, that now owns everything. So now you, like, with the Paramount Warner Brothers deal, you've got so much between Paramount and Disney, because Warner Brothers has Discovery, and Discovery has so much. Think about 35. No, can't be that. No. When was the Discovery Channel, Mammal Discovery Channel, whatever the song was. Anyway, all I can think about is watching Discovery Channel and watching the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you fast forward like 15 years and Discovery Channel has all these branching off channels of, it's not just the Discovery Channel with the animals, it's this Discovery and that Discovery and true crime and this and that. So Discovery under its own communications thing has all these channels of its own, and has all its own, like, Discovery even had its own platform. It had Discovery Plus, because I was a subscriber to that for the longest time. So now that Warner Brothers is under Paramount, that Discovery Plus app is probably going to go away, because it's all going to be under this HBO Max Paramount Plus stuff. So it's crazy. It's all crazy, wild, wild west with Paramount and Disney just having a shootout at the OK Corral, folks.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go down.
Me either. I'm just trying to get out of the way of the bullets.
Yeah.
See, get it. OK Corral, bullets, you know.
Yeah.
It's a shootout. It's a shoot in and out.
Anyways, you brought up the Boy Meets World.
The Book Meets World. So I am still listening to Pod Meets World with Danielle Fishel, Ryder Strong, and Wilfried L. They are so close to the end of season 7 of them discussing Pod Meets World. It's almost been 4 years of them reviewing the entire show, but they exclusively revealed on People Magazine's website that they are doing Book Meets World, offers the oral history of the beloved shows. There's a new way to experience the nostalgia. Fan for the beloved show is on the way. Host of nostalgic behind the scenes oral history podcast Pod Meets World, Danielle Fisher, Wilfried L. Ryder Strong, are coming out with a new oral history book, Book Meets World. People can exclusively announce it will feature untold stories and never before seen photos. Writer Emily Longaretta and the podcast producer Jensen Karp are also collaborating on the project. Boy Meets World ran from 93 to 2000. In Book Meets World, the three former stars and co-hosts will expand on the podcast, in which they share it was like behind the scenes, its oral history, and a glimpse of behind the scenes curtain from the three friends who were there when it all happened, just as a warm, funny, funny an experience as watching the show for the very first time. The book synopsis is promises. So they're doing an oral history book. Friedel says he's excited for it, and Fischl says she's also excited. And Ryder says, I can't help but have reservations, but in general, I guess you could say I'm excited for the book. The authors would also read the audiobook version of the book. Never miss a story. The Bookmates World will hit shelves on November 10th and is available for pre-order now wherever books are sold. So it's basically a behind-the-scenes version of the podcast and of Boy Meets World as well. I don't know. I heard them talking about it on the podcast, and I thought we could bring it up here since we do our own Boy Meets World podcast thing, kind of, which we got to start back up with Girl Meets World and whatever. Like I said, I've been listening to their podcast since they started it, and I just love hearing them talk about the behind the scenes stuff and some of the interviews they've done about with some of the behind the scenes people from the show that they could get on the podcast has been really interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, if you're a fan, check it out.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for me, it's most definitely going to be an Audible audiobook purchase, most likely, because I'd rather listen to it than it's not that I don't like reading. It's that I basically need old granny glasses to read these days.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with it, too.
I just
don't really read. So I spend more time in my car.
And then, oh boy, earlier this, I say earlier because we're at the beginning of March, but February 23rd, there was an article on Variety where they reported that Funko inspired TV shows, movies, and animated projects in the works at Rideback, Spurry, and more. Oh boy, the things Funko has tried and have not worked has been crazy. So they've tried a mobile game. There was a Funko like Match 3 mobile game that I don't even think is still available. It might still be available on the Play or Apple stores. I'm not sure. I had it for a while. It was okay. It was kind of fun. They tried Funko Fusion, which was their big PC game. It's fun. It's okay. It worked, but didn't gain a lot of momentum for them. But now they're actually going to potentially be getting into TV shows, movies, and animated projects. Oh boy. Collectibles brand Funko has struck a deal to develop and produce film, TV, and animated content with Lego Movie franchise and Netflix's Avatar: The Last Airbender producer, Rideback, and AI-enabled entertainment company Spurry. Oh boy, folks, here we go. AI-enabled entertainment company Spurry. At least it doesn't say AI-generated, AI-enabled, so there is a difference. Under the agreement, Spurry, currently working on Magic Treehouse animated TV series, and Rideback will serve as Funko's content partners for original Funko-driven projects across animation, hybrid live-action, scripted, and unscripted formats. Funko's portfolio of brands includes Funko, Loungefly, and Mondo, all of which collaborate with existing IP from Disney, NBC Universal, Warner Brothers, Discovery, Netflix, and more major media companies and release original products. God, I can't talk tonight. For the partners, this new deal is designed to unlock new storytelling opportunities, rooted in Funko's globally recognized brands and deep fan engagement, while building scalable franchises that can live across screens, platforms, and other consumer touch points. Specific projects will be announced at a later date. This announcement comes following years of Funko movie remaining in development stage at Warner Brothers. Funko sits at the center of a fan culture turning the moments that people love into collectible characters, with more than 1 billion products in the hands of fans worldwide. Funko CEO Josh Simon said, "Ryback's unmatched ability to transform beloved toys and characters like Lego and Lilo and Stitch into expansive, emotionally resonant stories makes them an ideal partner. Together with Spurry, we're excited to open a new chapter of storytelling for Funko fans everywhere." Dun, dun, dun.
Thoughts?
Silence, folks. He's speechless.
I'm more interested in just the Tubi TV shows. The Funko stuff doesn't interest me whatsoever.
We'll get there.
I know people are going to be calling crap on it because, like, oh, they have an AI studio helping or NA-enabled entertainment. You got to remember, too, Netflix also did that for that K-pop Demon Hunters thing, and it blew up like a balloon, like, and put them on the map. So I think this is the wave of the future.
Yeah.
Regardless of what people seem to think in the industry, is I feel like the more they clamor to clutch their pearls closer,
yeah,
the more the AI is going to win.
Yeah. And the funny thing is about the Funko animated stuff is I really do think Funko Fusion, the video game, kind of really hit the spot here with, and I'm sure Ryback is going to improve upon that, because in the Funko Fusion video game, they animated the characters very well. The characters didn't really speak. They didn't have speaking parts. They just kind of it was just kind of more sound effects, like from the characters. It was more of like a Funko Fusion, even though it was an action video game. It was an action video game mixed with the old style of Final Fantasy, where when you would talk to the character, they, like, if you talk to Proto the dog, when you would read his text, because you would have to read his text speech bubbles, he would.
Oh, they're Charlie Brown adults.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. In the game, they are. But if you look at the animation of the game, I don't know if that's what Ryback is gonna do, but based on what I saw in the Funko Fusion game, I think Funko animation is a good thing that could happen. Again, it's not for everybody, and that's fine, but just based on that, I'm very interested to see what Ryback does with it. And there have been worse cartoons out there. I mean, you know, Funko couldn't be the worst cartoon ever. I mean, we did have, you know, Mysterious Cities of Gold back in the 80s, and that cartoon is horrible. Anyway, moving on. We're going to go over to a...
Tubi, or not Tubi.
Yes, Tubi or not is Tubi. Not,
yeah, they're not getting 100 Cartoon Network shows, but they are getting a decent list. Now, the problem was... a lot of stuff is very misleading online.
Problem was, certain news stations need to retitle their news stories.
Well, it's because people don't read. And of course, we as fans take it literally because it's reported by news.
Exactly.
So maybe don't have the clickbait titles.
Anyways,
they're going to have a lot of mid-2000s era, early and mid-2000s era Cartoon Network titles. It was bad enough that Tubi had to actually release the list. So,
yeah. I mean, they didn't have to.
I want to say we discussed this the last episode.
We did. Well, we discussed it when it was first announced that because of, it was something about, I think it was the Netflix contract or something. Something was happening with something where it was like, oh my God, all of this stuff is that's what it was. All of this stuff was leaving Netflix. All of the Cartoon Network shows or all of this was leaving Netflix. Where is it going? She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which I honestly thought, I forgot it was a DreamWorks show, was leaving, like literally I thought it was one of the original Netflix shows or whatever, and I forgot it was a DreamWorks show. All of this content is leaving Netflix. Where is it going to go now? And then all of a sudden it pops up with all of the Cartoon Network shows are leaving this whatever and they're going to go here. And that's how we got it. So yeah, it's going to be a slow rollout of stuff. And it's going to be, you know, popular titles like always. And that's fine. Look, I mean, not everybody can be Netflix of 2009, 2010, folks. You can't just drop, you know, entire seasons of stuff all at once because it would be information overload.
Now, it did say kicking off the stuff March 1st, which means it's already out.
Yeah.
Animaniacs, Powerpuff Girls, Teen Titans, The Batman, Ben 10 2005, Pinky and the Brain, Justice League, Batman, The Brave and the Bold, Dexter's Lab, Ed, Edd n Eddy, Courage the Cowardly Dog, Tasmania, Foster's Home, Codename Kids Next Door, The Mask Animated, and Yogi's Gang are the first set of things.
Yep.
So I is happy.
Yeah. Tubi rocks. Tubi rocks. And then, folks, we go from cartoons to back to the I gotta get my Zoom on in here. We go back to the U.S. Supreme Court as they decline to hear a dispute over copyrights for AI-generated material. From Washington, March 2nd, 2026. This is coming from Reuters. The U.S. Supreme Court declined on Monday to take up the issue of whether AI art generated by artificial intelligence can be copyrighted under U.S. law, turning away a case involving a computer scientist from Missouri who was denied a copyright for a piece of visual art made by his AI system. Plaintiff Stephen Thaler had appealed to the justices after lower courts upheld a U.S. Copyright Office decision that the AI-crafted visual art at issue in the case was ineligible for copyright protection because it did not have a human creator.
This gets a little subjective here. And this is, okay. I had an argument with somebody over this. You know, they're like, AI is a toy. It's not a tool. Anyways. I argue it's a tool. However, like there's some false aspects to this as well, because if you're counting it as AI generated material, yes, it very well could be AI generated, and it, you know, would mean that it's not copyrightable in the sense that it wasn't completely done by a human. Now, somebody still has to put the prompts in And depending on how involved the prompting is, and depending on how layered and, you know, the questions that come out of it and things like that, will ultimately depend on how much of it is truly AI generated or not. So, for instance, if I took, let's say I wrote an article and then I put it through AI and I had it modify it or say, you know, make it more friendly or make it, you know, more concise or something, I still wrote it and I used it as a tool. If I typed it in and, you know, said, you know, this is my idea for a blog, write this, it is not something that I created. I told it what to do.
Yeah. Now,
if I put in an image and I say, like, I want a Star Trek character, for instance, and, you know, I want it of this actor in this situation, you know, wearing this, you know, design and in this room and this, you know, this type of situation, that's where it gets kind of a gray area. Because in the one hand, you didn't physically put it together. On the other hand, you imagined what it would look like as like a writer in a situation, putting them into that situation. So essentially it's a 50-50 shot there. So it could kind of, it's in that morally gray area. Now there's also other aspects of, you know, the artificial intelligence that, you know, it's like, okay, if I wrote a bazillion articles on whatever, and then I said, I need help crafting this into a book, it's an AI assist, not generated.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I feel like, and this is where it's going to get dicey for Hollywood.
Yeah, big time.
Because they're going to try to copyright their material. Now, a lot of their copyrights, like Batman, Superman, Mickey Mouse, stuff like that, are all going into the public domain. Warner Brothers is going to have it with Bugs Bunny at some point in the next 10 years. They're all going into the public domain pretty quick here, if they haven't already, which means they don't own the sole ownership over it anymore and cannot anymore, and nobody else will either, which means that I could write a Batman story without DC Comics. So in that type of situation, it's like, okay, you didn't create any of the materials, but if you're like imagining a story, or, you know, Hollywood's getting to this point where they're like, oh, I can just license out my IPs to have AI generated. It's also like, okay, well, then technically none of the stuff that's generated is owned by either party at that point. It's just fan art.
Yeah.
And which means that them licensing it out is kind of moot.
Yeah.
At that point, too. But if they're going to use that same concept to create like a movie or create a television series out of it, you know, it becomes this really weird area, because like, I am not artistically inclined when it comes to designing characters or, like, yes, I've used like Hero Creator and built stuff and done, you know, for a screenplay I did in college and crafted all of those. I also come up with, you know, character designs on my computer and stuff like that, you know, digibashing or whatever. And then I've had AI enhance what I've done. But I feel like AI has created this barrier, you know, entry barrier to people who previously were unable to make their ideas come to life.
Yeah.
So like, if I wrote a script or a screenplay, you know, and I was trying to show it off, or I was trying to produce it, whether it had discrepancies or whatever or not, I feel like it still allows them to create something from their vision that they, you know, whether it's a storyline or the designs and the storyline or, you know, whatever, I feel like it kind of lowers that barrier to entry where somebody could create essentially a television series or a film on a fractional budget of what Hollywood does and have it look immensely better than some of the CGI coming out of Hollywood today. you know, 20 years ago, Hollywood CGI looked infinitely better because they used a lot more practical effects. Not to mention, they could shoot a Star Trek television show for a heck of a lot less than what it costs now. It costs them, you know, 20 million, 10 to 20 million to shoot an episode of modern Trek because it's all CGI compared to the old stuff where they had to be inventive and do, you know, models of the ships and, you know, like showing them flying through a solar flare. They literally lit it in a certain way and overlaid it and had salt going over a steel ball on a stick to look like the ship was going through, you know, solar flares. So, I mean, like, things are definitely doable if you're artistically inclined, and, you know, people that do stop motion, you know, that's awesome too. But it creates this area where people are able to create their vision finally. But then it becomes, okay, if AI helps you do all of it, do you actually own it? And so in that regard, I feel like they should own it. But I don't feel like it's a replacement either for the people that can do it. I think that if you're using it as like a pilot, or you're like, I don't intend on ever making money with this.
Yeah.
Or I'm using it as like, I need a pilot so that I can get the studio to say, hey, we like this. Mm-hmm. I feel like then it's, I mean, for crying out loud, I was a part of a group doing fan dubs of Transformers Headmasters way back when, early 2000s. That sucker would have been done. You know, I can only imagine people doing it now because they would just, oh, I want it to sound exactly like the season 3 actors. And
yeah,
and then just dub the whole thing over. And here we go. We have season, you know, 5 and of Headmasters. And it just, I don't know, like, I've even toyed with the idea of using it specifically for Dark Glass. Like, I'm going to assemble the audio, but what I want to do with it is, like, I have the CG models that were created for the project, and I've thought, okay, so what if I, you know, essentially acted it out with my camera, recorded it, and then replaced me in the background with the Beast Wars aesthetics, and then overlaid the audio track that was created by people that did fan dubbing essentially of the characters, then it's an assist, but it's still not, like, you know, yeah. You get what I'm saying there? Like, it's
yeah.
Like, I'm using CGI.
You're using AI it as an, yeah, you're using it as an AI assist enhancement to the work you're already doing. Like, it's not like,
And that's kind of what I want to do with it is, like, I'm like, yeah, if I learn enough of this, like, I could actually animate this episode based on all of the source material I have. Yeah, but to move the characters, I would need a camera, you know, and then replace
exactly.
It.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you're going to what's the Canva. OK, it's not like you're going into Canva and opening up a brand new project and having it as a blank white thing and saying, okay, Canva AI, draw me this in the style of this person and have it look like this, and I want it to have this, and I want it to look like this, and it should have this 7 colors. Boom, make it for me. No. You, like, again, this is why I always use you as the perfect example for me, is because, like, for God, nearly the 18 years we've known each other, I will see something for an image or what, like, if we wanted to create a new podcast or if we were going to or whatever, or if I wanted to have a specific podcast art for something new, a new series or a new something for whatever, I'd be like, okay, take this, slap the name on it, or hey, Steve, make me a template with all of our GCRN, like Studio 2009, perfect example. You've made me a template that I can put stuff in.
Yeah.
Where I can just go and grab a poster, an image, or whatever. But let's say I want a Columbo Files template, which you have not yet made. But basically what I would want with that is take the current Columbo Files art that we have, shift it around to make it where it's the template, where I could put something like that art would be a part of the template, but there would be an open space. You know what I mean? Like I would, you are my AI essentially, but you actually have intelligence versus the artificial whatever kind of thing. And it's like, for me, that the person that can't do any of this stuff, that doesn't know how to do any of this stuff, it's like, I will go to people, my friends, my best friend in the world and whatever else, and say, hey, I need help with this. I need it by Monday. And you'll be like, okay, sure, just remind me. Be like, okay, cool. I hope I don't forget myself. But that's the truth. Like, seriously, that would be the conversation. And like, we're not out here using the artificial intelligence to just look at a blank Canva project and have the AI do everything for us. Like you've already conversed, where it's like you're using it as, I'm making this thing and I need this extra push. And that's what the artificial intelligence is assisting me with. Like, that's what you're using it for. Like,
well, I mean, I use it mostly like I need an idea. Like, for me, it's like I get stuck like a lot because I've done so many different things. I'm like, okay, where do I go from here? And then I will give it the idea. I'll be like, hey, this is what I've done. This is what I'm thinking of. This is, you know, what are some other options that I can go with this? And then it'll give me like a list of things. And then I kind of finesse the idea from there. And then I go, okay. And then I end up doing it myself because I'm never satisfied with the crap it gives me. I'm just visually, like, I know it's capable of stuff with graphics and I know it's a prompting thing. I just don't care. Like, I like doing the art. I like editing my podcast. I found a tool in Adobe recently, of all things, under the diagnostics tab.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it scan your entire multitrack and delete the silence.
What?
I just found this. Like, or there's a part that's also like trim long silent pauses, trim short digital dropouts, clean up interview. There's declipper, declicker.
I knew about declipper and declicker. I knew
about delete that. Silence is beautiful. I use that. I've been using that like crazy for the last week. I've rather enjoyed it. But yeah, I mean, I've really been trying to learn like a lot of these things that a lot of people have more or less taken for granted.
Right.
And, you know, they're like, oh, I'll pay a service for this. Well, I also get tired of spending, like, I don't want to spend money. Like, one, I don't have a budget for it. Two, like, I don't love the idea of handing a company money every time I need something, or like most of them are like, hey, we want you to, you know, pay this subscription fee. And like most of the AIs have like tokens. Yeah. They give you so many. And it's like, I don't want to deal with it. So again, like this is where I'm like, it's definitely a tool. It can be a toy if you're like one of those AI bros that are posting constantly on Twitter and or X and every other platform. I think that we're at this weird phase where they're still figuring out what qualifies, and our government, because they're so antiquated, unless it counts for, you know, surveillance, unless it's surveillance, like they don't understand technology.
No,
they're like, oh, I don't know what a 3D printer is capable of. I don't know what this internet stuff you're talking about.
So should we swap over to that? Because Colorado be in trouble.
Colorado's following another state of equal frustration.
Yes.
I'm not getting political here.
It's true.
Colorado is mini California.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. In all ways, shape, and form. They just don't. They don't seem to allow people to just live. Leave them alone. Like, I find it highly, highly irritating. So Colorado has been putting up, for one, speed cameras literally everywhere, which again is neither here nor there. Like, yeah, I shouldn't be overly speeding or whatever. Like, I don't go exactly the speed limit, but I go just over it. More so, I used to drive like a banshee when I was younger. Now I'm just like, I don't care that much to get where I'm going.
Yeah.
Like, I'll let it go where it goes. Like, I'm not gonna deal with getting a ticket. Like, I don't like the surveillance state that everything's turning into, though.
Yeah.
Between like them being able to scan Wi-Fi, and like now there's conspiracy theories about lead paint and why they stopped putting it in houses, other than it being toxic, is the fact that they can't scan through it.
Yeah.
Whereas they can use your Wi-Fi and create a like more or less a sonar in your house of you.
Yeah, that's
creepy on its own right. But
yeah, that's nuts.
But so there's that. They've got satellites. They've got all that crap. They're listening to you on your smart devices, like every single one of them. You know, anything with a microphone or a camera, they're watching.
Yep. Including the microphones that we're talking into right now.
Yeah, and you know, our phones and like the smart speaker, because like our Google will randomly wake up and be like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, and it's like, I didn't even talk to you, dude.
I could say OKG and the thing will wake up.
Oh, we then,
oh my god, earlier today, hopefully you'll save that thought for a second. Earlier today, I'm like, I said the phrase, I'll say OKG, but just because I don't want it to wake up. I said it four times. It wouldn't wake up. I reset my phone to make sure it was still working. I literally said, I didn't have any other apps open on my home screen. I said the open phrase for OKG four times and it wouldn't open. And I'm like, are you deaf? What are you doing? Are you deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid? Like, I'm trying to open the assistant here. Like, what's going on? Has the other assistant fully taken over? Because I don't know. But anyway, what were you gonna say?
Well, I was saying, like, while my kids figured out a loophole, they started saying random words that sounded similar, but it wasn't the word, and it would activate. And they were laughing hysterically because it was like we said Poogle and, you know, and McDougal and things like that. And so the kids were just yelling random stuff at our device. Anyways, so they. Like Colorado, like I said, is doing this stuff with that. Never mind that, you know, we need them to fix the roads or things like that. Then they're adding like tolls for everything, and then they're throwing a fit about taxes on everything, and then now they're like, oh, we're gonna force surveillance on 3D printers to prevent use for making gun parts. And it's the fourth state to propose new bans and expanding firearms laws to regulate digital files. And what they're saying is, and they're joining New York, Washington, and California, of course, on a quest to ban, you know, and regulate the fact they're saying that they could potentially, you know, regulate digital files and potentially ban 3D printers that are not under its surveillance. In other words, if we don't see what you're printing, you're not allowed to use your printer, and it's illegal and it's a felony. So they're trying to say that they're not under, you know, that under these restrictions, 3D printers are, that are not online for surveillance would be illegal.
Yeah.
And preventing, you know, they're saying, oh, it's preventing gun. Well, you know, most people that end up with them do it illegally anyway. It's the legal people that are like literally trying to print things that are goofy. Like, I'm trying to print like useful things, and then at the same time, like, I printed a desk organizer, and then at the same time, I've been printing Starship Enterprises and like random like action figure stands. And it's like, give me a break. Like, I don't. One, I would never download a gun, you know, anyway.
Yeah, no.
Of any kind. Like, not even like from Star Trek. Like, I wouldn't even download a Star Trek one. And they're saying that, you know, this titled prohibits 3D printing, you know, firearm components. They're trying to close loopholes created by new technology. And it defines 3D printing to mean both additive and subtractive manufacturing, which, you know, means these. And they're saying that any of these machines that are not online, and saying that the distribution of these gun files would be a class one misdemeanor on the first offense, and subsequent offenses are a class five felony. And the five, you know, could result in 1 to 3 years in prison, mandatory parole, and fines to 1,000 to 100,000. I'm like, can you be any more dense? Like, it's funny because the 3D printing community is like, look, we're trying to raise awareness on this, but none of these Congress or Senator people want to learn anything about it. They're like that they're essentially harming, you know, the potential harm that can accidentally inflict on manufacturing and STEM education and the harmless hobby of 3D printing. And multiple 3D printing YouTubers have publicly invited lawmakers to visit their workshops to learn about the technology.
Wow.
And they refuse to show up.
Wow.
They just want to pass a stupid bill and criminalize, you know, the use unless they get to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
And
what surprises me about this is the last paragraph here. The Democrats' statement cited data archived by the National Library of Medicine, which noted that the ATF received approximately 45,245 reports of suspected privately made firearms recovered by law enforcement between 2016 and 2021. Only 186 cases involved 3D printing, of which 14 were fully printed firearms like the Liberator. This specific data set was compiled by researchers who scoured the public records. Yada, yada, yada. This is nuts. Like, first of all, you know, the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment. We all have the right to bear arms, but I get sunburned when I bear my arms. But it's one of those things where it's just one of those things where I don't have a need. I don't fear guns, but it's, I mean, obviously I do if one's pointed at me, but it's one of those things where I'm on the fence about the Second Amendment. If it's a right, it's a right, but it's one of those things where I don't feel like I have the compunction to have the need to own a gun. I've never felt that way at all, kind of thing. And the fact that people are printing ghost guns,
you're talking about literally crazy people anyway.
Yeah, I know, I understand.
It's like, why don't you just put people through a psych eval before they get one and be like, all right, yeah, and then just leave them alone afterward. Like,
yeah,
like Washington, it's passed, like, and they've got multiple bills
that are
tied to this, and New York as well, and California. Yeah. California's got one that's actually law. Colorado's got one that's passed the House. So they're saying criminalizes, you know, 3D printing firearm parts, possession of CAD files, which, okay, like, I get it. You know, if you're in possession of 3D printed gun part files or you're printing the parts, I get it. Like, but I don't want my 3D printer like surveilled.
No.
It's like I'm literally printing like nerd crap.
Yeah.
Especially,
how long have you owned your 3D printer?
Well, this is my second one. And my first one, like I got probably, I think the same year I got it 3 years ago. And then I sold that one and I've had this printer just over a year.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I love this printer, but like I've ever printed with it is like stands for my figures. I printed add-on parts for my Transformers. I printed, you know, the Zeomorpher. I've printed a bunch of Star Trek ships, you know, chairs, desk organizers.
Yeah.
Fake floppy disks. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, like, it's like, okay, I understand going forward, like, this is going to sound crazy, but if you're buying, like, where do you normally buy 3D printers? Walmart, Target, that kind of, or is,
well, you can't buy them there. You can buy them at like Micro Center in Denver. Like it's a computer store. I think you can buy them at Best Buy. And then you can buy them on like Amazon or any of these actual stores online. Like, I mean, they essentially all come from China.
Right. I was going to say, if you could buy them from Walmart or Target or someplace like that, the easiest way for this would be like, you must go through a mental health examination before you buy a 3D printer. Well, they got a pharmacy right in Walmart and right in Target. That's the only way I could, you know what I mean? Like, if they really wanted to do some sort of whatever, like, you know, what, I don't know. But it is, I don't know, dude. It's just like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I would never. That's kind of like the olden days where it's like, oh, would you like to 3D? Would you like to go back to blank check? Would you like to print a blank check on your computer to be able to write in whatever amount you would like? No, there are just some things you just don't do. You know what I mean? Like, I know blank checks and guns are two different things. Like, you know, I get that. But like, it goes to the thing of there are just certain things you don't do.
Well, and then to top it off, since we're talking about stupid laws, California recently passed a law on computers needing to have age verification.
Oh boy, here we go. The
operating system level.
Oh my God.
And it's and I'm listening to this and I'm like, okay, so you're telling me my child can't use a computer? Like, and it's like, and why do we need these laws? Like, yes, I know that like pornography and like all kinds of other bad crap is like rampant online. Who's the police officer for their children? Like, do the parents actually do their job? Why are we relying on the government to make rules for things that parents should do as normal parents? Like, literally go through everything my child does. I have things on lockdown. I have those things blocked at the router level.
Yeah.
Like, because I literally bought a router, a gaming router at that, because it seems like gaming content, like gaming hardware is like the way to go for everything. Like, I bought a gaming mouse for productivity. I bought a gaming router so that I could actually use the blocking technology in it. Cause like the other router I used to have did not block that stuff.
Right.
And so I can block everything so my kids can't get to anything bad. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, whose job is this? Like, they're saying starting January 2027, the California law, the Digital Age Assurance Act, requires operating systems, Windows, Mac OS, Android, iOS, and Linux, which Linux is impossible to do because it's open source.
Yeah.
You don't have to log into it to use it, whereas the other four you do.
Yeah.
To implement age verification mechanisms at the device setup level, the law mandates that the OS providers categorize users into age brackets and share this signal with applications. And then they're saying that it would include all operating systems, including computers, mobile devices, gaming devices sold in California. And then it would be during initial account setup. and then the law seeks to prevent minors by allowing apps to tailor content and features. Now, the only time I understand that is like from the Privacy Law Act,
yeah,
of multiple states for kids, because yeah, like they shouldn't be scraping kids' data. But at the same time, if you're literally giving them their name, their age, like you're literally still like you're profiling them automatically when it should be like a privacy thing anyway.
Yeah. So
like I have an issue with it too. As a parent, like it's like it's my job to police my kids, not the government. Like I don't need you telling me what to do. And like then they're like also trying to ban VPNs from people. And it's like, okay, yeah, well, I also don't want people tracking my every move and advertisers and like these creepy social media sites. Like I'm to the point, like I'm about to delete like all of my social media and like a lot of my internet footprint, like because it's so annoying having to deal with like I literally have to worry more about like the government and like health insurance companies losing my personal data and allowing yeah, it to get leaked all over the place, to where I've had to lock my credit to prevent people from stealing or opening up credit cards in my name.
Oh, geez.
Because my social security number has been out there numerous times.
Oh, God.
Because the first one that leaked it? When I was laid off the last time and I had to get Medicare from the state. The state had antiquated software and it leaked from them first. And then somebody tried to open up a credit card and a cell phone and tried to transfer my phone number from my phone to their phone.
Oh, damn.
All in the same month. So like I literally have had to like play reconnaissance with my Google footprint since then. So for the last 3 years to prevent morons from getting it. So at this point, like I'm like, if I'm going to use a VPN, I'm going to use a VPN. Like,
use Surfshark today.
So, I mean, like, I'm so sick of the, like, it's like, how about you fix your security problems before you worry about what everybody's doing? Like,
yeah.
I mean, we've got them pumping AI and agentic crap and all of, you know, all of these privacy and all of these telemetry things. Like, I literally found like 4 apps that allow me to effectively shut down all of Microsoft's telemetry so that it does not sit there and phone home and, you know, give all of my my info to Microsoft. And it's like, it's none of your dang business. Like stay off my machine. Like I don't need all of your extra crap. Like I don't need all this weird software.
Like if I could get rid of Copilot immediately, I would.
Oh, on your computer?
Yes.
I can help you with that. I actually have an app. There's an app for that.
There's an app for that.
There literally is an app for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
But I think that at this point, like I'm so sick of companies.
I'm sick of everything, dude. I don't want to turn the show into negative Nellies. I'm not trying to be negative
either. I'm just,
no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it just seems like the world we are currently living in, we are past the half decade mark. The 2020s are not so roaring.
No.
And I want to make it better. I don't know how we can make it better. Maybe the podcasts will help people and cheer them up, and maybe we can bring in some good podcast cheer next time. But just unless I'm editing a podcast, unless I'm working on something, which is few and far between because of all my medical stuff that's been going on, I just don't want to do a damn thing. Remember that image I stole that from you, because I steal everything from everybody. It's like that one image that pops up on Facebook. This image was on Facebook. I stole this image from Facebook, whatever it is. But there's an image that you shared years ago. Might have been just a few years ago. Might have been 17. I don't know. I just don't want to do anything anymore. I don't know. You had shared this years ago, whenever it was. I'll see if I can get it up on my phone later. But I'm feeling that more and more between my mental health, and it's more my mental health than my physical health, because my physical health is what it is. And it's not about my weight. It's not about any of that. It's more about my arms. Both of my, dude, I am just breaking down. I walk. I do as much exercise as I can. I drink Core Water is the only brand water I will drink, just because it is what it is. So I've been drinking more Core Water than I ever have in the last 4 years. And it's like, oh my God, what is going on? But mentally, it's like, it isn't anything personal against anybody, but I just don't give an F about anything anymore. Unless it's something I'm focused on to do for podcasting. I haven't watched my favorite TV show in the last year and a half. They just put the new episode out, but like, I don't know, but it is what it is.
Yep.
I can't seem to get excited about stuff. Like, somebody was like, a buddy of mine was like, oh, do you want that new SS-86? And he was just trying to say, hey, I'll get that for you, whatever. And I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But it's just not, I don't know what it is about it, but SS-86 Hot Rod, the new one that's out now, it's like, I don't know. I just don't have any interest in it. And what the hell's wrong with my brain, dude? Like, no, seriously. Like, this is like you saying no to Beast Wars Megatron anything. Like, what in the hell is wrong with my brain saying no to Hot Rod anything? Like, time to go get mentally checked out, because apparently I'm not mentally checked in. I think the most exciting thing that has happened to me in the last month and a half, I have a new color-coded sleek black pill bottle organizer. That's what old age is, folks. At least in my life. See, look, I'm an altered geek. I've altered past the geekdom. Wah, wah, wah. Oh, God, I'm getting too old for this junk.
Yep.
Yeah.
I gets it. Anyway, so I think that about rounds this episode out. Let us know what you guys think, and comment on the episode post on the website. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. We're about ready to start recording soon our top 100 animated series countdown for the 2026 15th anniversary edition.
Yeah,
and I am pumped. I'm here. I'm waiting. We're still waiting on a number of lists, but it's being compiled. And so we're excited to get that project underway.
Yep, yep.
So until next time, transform and transcend and get altered. Get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Oh,
Alter Geek Podcast. Remember the name.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project. Now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.